Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I really, nothing I can tell you. The update probably that I probably want to give, Bo, just would be that there's nothing season-ending or long-term. You know, everything else is either day-to-day. Something might stretch into a week-to-week.
John Harbaugh talking about injuries reluctantly. And week-to-week is Kyle Van Noy with the hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
And that started to get reported throughout the national news media prior to the doubleheader Monday Night Football. So Kyle Van Noy was having a hell of a game, Vinny, for the quarter and a half.
He was dominating that. He was kicking the crap out of that right tackle, Bob.
But he's going to be out for, I'm assuming, at least the game. Let's go with that, right?
I'm guessing 3 weeks.
And then Marlon Humphrey is who John was referring to with an ankle. And didn't that, what, game to game, week to week, hour to hour?
He didn't say if it was
month to month,
high ankle or low ankle or what. But, I mean, Bob, I mean, this is, you got Amon St. Brown and Jameson Williams coming in. You would prefer to have, you know, Marlon playing this week, but probably not happening.
Yeah, so those are two guys that could be on the shelf for Monday night's game against the Lions. Ravens 5.5-point favorites in that ball game. And Rasheen Ali got his bell rung on the opening kickoff, and he left. And we've been talking for 2 weeks about Keaton Mitchell being inactive for games. I would assume, depending on how the protocol goes for Ali, that Keaton Mitchell might see his first game action of 2025.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bob, if you look at it, and if Likely doesn't play, we can give the inactives already. Likely, Ricard, Ali, Humphrey, and Van Noy.
Yeah.
Those are your inactives.
No doubt. But with Van Noy inactive, that means David Ajabo then, like Mitchell with Ali.
Yep.
David Ajabo could be up.
He will
for
be.
Detroit.
Yeah, he's got to be up because he's going to need an extra rusher. They just, they're going to, Mike Green, I liked a couple things he did in the game. You know, and like Harb said, he's a young kid and he's still learning, but he's thinking way too much. You know, he's just not turning it loose like he did in the preseason. I thought against those two tackles from Cleveland that sucked, I thought he would turn it loose. But he had the tight end over there sometimes, which made it difficult. I just want him in those third down. Just turn it. Just use your speed. Use your get off. He's got an awesome get off, you know, and he's not using it. He's like rocking back and like he's thinking too much. Just, you know, and hopefully this week, you know, he can crank it up. Just line up on the defensive right side, not the defensive left side, because they're right tackle, Bob. He's very good.
Detroit, you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Teddy Buchanan, also heard John Harbaugh talk about him. And Teddy Buchanan was drafted this year, and he has, at least he did on Sunday, supplanted Trent Simpson as the starting linebacker next to Roquan Smith. And, you know, John Harbaugh did praise him, and rightfully so. But, you know, you want him to continue to ascend in a positive way. But I'm assuming this week they're also trying to get Trent Simpson straightened out to whatever level he could be straightened out to.
I just don't think, Bob, it's, you can, you know, you're either got natural instincts or you don't. And Teddy does. Buchanan's got instincts. Not like, nobody's got instincts like Roquan, you know, but Teddy Buchanan has good instincts. And he does a nice job in the pass stuff. And you know where Simpson does good, Bob? He's got two tackles on special teams. And he played, what, 15 snaps? You know, and he played, I think it was mostly passing situations.
Yeah,
so
and he
uses
got in that stat sheet a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's all right in the right. You blitz him. If you're going to have him in for the run stop, blitz him so he doesn't have to think. And then the pass stuff, let him use his athleticism.
Yeah, Penei Sewell, by the way, is the right tackle for the Detroit Lions. And we also heard John Harbaugh talking about the Browns stacking the box, take away the run, which we talked a lot about yesterday. Ravens did not get anything generated on the ground, only 45 yards as a team. Now, Detroit, right, Swift got his stuff for the Bears late because the game is kind of puppy pants there after a while. But we'll see what the philosophies will be there for a Detroit team that's coming off a very impressive win after getting dominated by Green Bay in week one. And the last time they were here, yeah, two different teams, but same head coaches, a lot of the same personnel.
Yep.
How does it, what Detroit are we seeing? The one that showed their offensive abilities against the beleaguered Bears defense? Or is it a team somewhere in between? And for the Ravens, look, they put 40 points on the board in two games, but they're only 1-1.
Yeah.
So what defense will show up against that offense?
Well, definitely going to need some type of pass rush. And I think they're going to have to be the aggressive defense that shows up. And Bob, the other thing, Detroit's a different team indoors than they are outdoors. You know, Detroit at home is damn good. They went on the road to Green Bay and stunk it up. So hopefully they're coming outside and we'll stink it up. But they've got skill. They got talent. Got to be able to stop the run, you know, with Gibbs and Montgomery. You know, that's going to be key. And then they're going to have to, you know, you got one receiver, Williams, that can fly, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is kind of like a Zay Flowers type guy.
All right, he does a little bit of everything. Yeah. He's one of the premier dudes in the NFL. And to your point about Detroit leaving the confines of Ford Field, it's not like they lose because of weather. Green Bay, that was a nice day. Last time they were here, a little colder, but it wasn't like it was snow and rain in the forecast, and it's expected to be nice on Monday night in downtown Baltimore. So it's not a weather-related thing. It's just their comfortability level seems to be higher at home, like most teams.
Yeah, and I think the key was Chicago, Bob, got no pressure on the quarterback, you know, and he threw, you know, they scored 52 points. Green Bay had a ton of pressure on him, and that's going to be the key. You know, the key is going to be Ravens get pressure on them, and then, you know, they're going to have a chance to get an interception or so. And I think make things difficult. So we'll see. I mean, the pressure is going to be on the Mike Greens and, you know, always got to start to show up. And the Jabo and, you know, Tavius Robinson, those guys. And then Zach Orr, too, because you're probably going to have to scheme some stuff.
Yeah, lack of a pass rush is going to be detrimental to success for the Ravens because Goff, like Joe Flacco, is not the most mobile quarterback, but he's accurate as hell.
Yeah.
And he has way more to choose from in regards to who he's going to throw to or hand it to than the Browns do at this stage.
Well, Bob, right now, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, but the Ravens defense ranked 25th in sacks with 3. Last year, the last 2 years, they've been 1-2.
Yeah.
So they got a little work to do there.
Yeah, and is there anything else in regards to Ravens through two games that would make Campbell think that I'm seeing a lot of flaws within this ball club here? Because if we look at stats just based on what they've accumulated, Lamar's quarterback rating is almost 140.
Right.
I mean, Henry didn't have a game against Cleveland, but he had a monster game against Buffalo. Zay Flowers is off to an incredible start, but they've got some pretty good secondary guys to choose from there defensively, and they can get after the quarterback when, you know, they're on their full complement of players.
Yeah, you know, Hutchinson's only got one sack for them, so they hadn't gotten a lot of sacks either, so I don't anticipate them getting many sacks. I mean, are they going to bring pressure? Bob, their two corners are like the second and third leading tacklers on the football team, which is not a good sign. That means, you know, they don't have interceptions and they don't have pass defense. That means that their corners are tackling a lot of receivers that are catching balls, you know, because Adunzie had a big game against them, you know, on
a couple
Sunday.
Touchdowns.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I can't wait to dive into the film on Detroit and see what they look like. But, I mean, you've been mentioning for a couple weeks, Bob. I mean, they've replaced their center and both guards, So we'll see how those guys look.
So it's Detroit and Baltimore. We're going to hear more from John Harbaugh throughout the course of the day. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Andy Vinnie Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We will talk with him throughout the course of the day. We got a lot to get to today. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Look back at Sunday, finally. Finish that one off. It's over. It's done with. Now it's all about the Lions. Whip around 11:15. There were two games in the NFL last night. Talk about those. And then we got notes from the North. We're going to Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland as every team looks ahead to their next game. And in Cincinnati, disappointing. Pittsburgh, because of the injury to Joe Burrow, obviously. Pittsburgh got spanked at home. And then you got the Cleveland Browns. We all know what happened to them.
The division didn't look very good, Bob, other than the Ravens.
Since he's 2-0. They won, but they lost.
Yes.
They won the battle, but may have lost the war. Orioles win last night. Kyle Bradish picks up his first win since June the 8th of 2024 against Tampa. Moo Man had a three-run jack that proved to be the difference in the game. Birds break three-game losing streak. Unfortunately, it looks like Albert Suarez is done for 2025, and we'll talk to Rich Dubroff about this from the BaltimoreBaseball.com later in the show. But Suarez went through the shoulder that cost him 5 months and what was in four games. And now he's done for the season, and we'll see what the tests show. Is he going to be the latest to get Tommy John surgery? Jordan Westbrook's expected to be back tonight. And Adley Rutschman starts a rehab to come back. And I don't I know you like to play, and you want to at least finish on a high note like Jackson Holliday is. But just I'd shut her down all the way. Think. Why Adley? Why now?
It's because he's got that bobblehead night coming up next week. Oh. They need him there for that.
Oh, it's all marketing strategery.
What's he going to play? Six games?
If that.
Right.
There's only 12 left.
Yeah, and he's got 7 days rehab.
Yeah, I don't know. But Westy's going to be back tonight. Orioles do win the opener. So that's good news there, 4-1. Orioles are one loss away from being eliminated from the playoff. Phillies clinched their division last night. We'll get into all of that. All sorts of zaniness going on in Major League Baseball as the Yankees get puffy pants and the Blue Jays win a dramatic one. So we got a standings update. We got Dirty Dozen and Feeble Fives. Anything we're talking about, Maryland's at Wisconsin. So it's Turning Up Tuesday. We're turning up the sports talk. Now's your chance to get in. 410-583-1057. Don't call during NFL lunch. Okay. How am I getting? No. Now's the chance to call.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore and Detroit both trying to get to the Super Bowl, which has eluded them. And for the Lions, they've never been to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And only a couple championship games.
Yeah.
I mean, they were they were one of the dynasties of the 50s. And then the Colts took over from them, and then the Pack and the Browns got in there as well. But Bobby Lane said when they traded him to Pittsburgh, the quarterback, number 22, who I think had a flask in his pants during the game, said, "You guys will never win again once they traded him." And he's right. Yeah. They have not won a championship in over 60 years, almost 70. Now they're coming in here with high hopes. They had the best regular season in the history of the franchise last year. And they got housed in the playoffs. And now they're, trying to prove they're still. And they are threats, no doubt about it. Oh, yeah. We'll break it down throughout the course of the week. Let's not just assume the Ravens are going to cover that 5.5-point spread. Because if we're here on Tuesday and the Ravens have lost, I don't think anyone's going to be stunned. People are going to be mad. But Not shocked at all. But Detroit's coming in here, so we'll have to talk to Kevin about that. Then we're going to go around the AFC North, the notes from the North, and Joe Dannemann's got a lot to contemplate with Joe Burrow out for 3 months. Ray Fittipaldi, how the hell did you lose at home? And then Zach Jackson, maybe he's still running hot because the Ravens decided to have their 30th anniversary while the Browns were in town on the opening game of the season.
Bob, I was talking to my wife last night about the turf toe surgery. And
for Burrow, of course.
Yes. Yeah. And she said that minimum 3 months, more what? Like 4 to 6.
His was grade 3.
Which is the worst.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the worst one. So tore ligaments and stuff, you know. So, but she said that he'll heal fine. He'll be back to normal. But that it takes a long time for recovery.
Yeah, and he was having a good game.
Yeah.
Against Jacksonville before he got shut down. But we'll get into all of that and more. Orioles win last night. 12 games left of the season for the Birds of Baltimore. Jordan Westberg's going to make his return to the lineup. Westy, one of the many. Orioles have used 68 players in 2025. And yes, that's one of the major reasons why they're on the verge of elimination. Terps at Wisconsin, biggest game of the year, duh, after winning 3 at home. Now we'll see if they can rise to the occasion, spread one up to 9.5. Maybe Billy Edwards, former Maryland quarterback, will be under center for the Badgers, who lost at Alabama. All right, let's go to PT. It's Towson. PT, thanks for holding. It's Turning Up Tuesday. We're rocking here on the Fan.
Hey, Bob, there's nothing wrong with a flask down your shorts. You know who doesn't
wearing
drink,
one
Bob?
Now.
The Middle East. That's who doesn't drink, the Middle East. But listen, I want to apologize for the Florida pick last week.
DJ, oh, I did not take that advice, by the way.
Thank God. That's why you're a smart man.
I screw up my own picks. I don't need you screwing me up anymore.
You don't know how right you are. Yeah. But that said, Langway, 5 picks. Seven leads all of college football, but that's a story for another day. But I look at the Ravens, guys like Hamilton, Starks, Roquan, they don't have to be coached up. But a guy like Simpson, man, he had 4 sacks as a freshman at Clemson, 6 sacks as a sophomore at Clemson. And as Nolan kind of tipped me on the line, you know, before I got on, he's like, yeah, it might be a position for him. He might be rushing the passer a little bit with Van Ooy out. And I'm a Simpson guy, man. I think you assign him to the right, you know, tell him exactly, like, just rush the end, dog. Just do your thing. Because the kid's super talented. And when you look like a guy like Adofe, you know, at Penn State, had 0 sacks, you know, his junior year before we drafted him. And it did take him 4 years to get beyond the 5 sack mark. I mean, maybe Simpson's just going to take a long time to develop.
I just don't see that he has a lot of instincts. I mean, to me, you know, it showed on that punt coverage.
But
you know,
to get to the quarterback of PT, trying to advocate for him, yeah.
They asked Harbs about that, too. You know, and Harbs is like, you know, he can't play defensive end. You know, he's not body size. He can't handle that. You know, Sam linebacker like Van Ooy kind of plays, you know. Possibly. It didn't seem like that was like a real, because I don't think, you know, at Clemson, you know, when you get those kind of sacks and you're athletic and you can run, you know, you can just use your speed. You know, now you got to have some moves and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, Mike Green led the country in sacks last year, and he's kind of struggling right now.
Right. I just hope they coach a guy like that up. And nobody knows better than you, Vinny. But if you look at all the numbers, you know, the jump test, the 40 time, man, Trenton Simpson is on the short list of guys with that 4.4, but yet he's super strong. You just have to, you know, coach him up. And then, like we talked about earlier, specifically tell him, man, blitz this gap. This is your job. This is what you're going to do. And just, you know, like you're talking with Green, like, man, don't think so much. Just go ahead and do it. Hit that gap.
PT, thank you for the call. So PT advocating for Trent Simpson, like he assured us for months that the Orioles were going to make the playoffs this year.
I mean, Bob, you know, people never believed me about Brandon Stevens that he couldn't play the ball. I said that all the ones that I've kind of screwed up upon has been the old linemen, because eventually, after 3 or 4 years, they end up playing.
Right.
You know, but
Okay. To play the game with PT for Simpson in particular, they've gone through two coordinators.
Yep.
There have been a linebacker coach changes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to that? No. I'm assuming he's been coached up, I guess is my point.
Well,
Though there have been a lot of mouths in those ears.
All right,
here.
Bob, let's go back to last year. He was the starter. They were bragging on him, and the defense was getting housed constantly. Communication sucked. All right. And they said, okay, we'll make some changes. Peace comes in. They get rid of Marcus Williams and basically get rid of Simpson, you know, and then things are good. All right. Now they blame it on the linebacker coach. You know, they fired him. Bring in a new linebacker coach. Simpson, you know, got bigger, got stronger, blah, blah, you know, all that. Starter. All right. New linebacker coach plays week one. Week two, plays 15 snaps.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it kind of tells you. I mean, we've been through two linebacker coaches, you know, and this one kind of got it right away that he doesn't have the natural instincts. And that's the problem. He is a day late and a dollar short all the time. He can't read it. You know, whereas Roquan has unbelievable instincts, and Buchanan's got good instincts too. But Simpson, he sees, he registers, and then he reacts. Whereas, you know, like Roquan sees it and reacts. You know, so it just he's not gonna get it.
And even in week one, he was pretty much in a timeshare anyway.
Yeah.
With Teddy Buchanan. So PT, not looking promising, but PT, I guess, wants Trenton to just do the old Bill Cowher to Greg Lloyd. Sack the quarterback. Well, that was Greg Lloyd's chosen occupation, to sack the quarterback, which he did well.
Remember we had Tim Williams.
Alabama, yep.
Same thing. And training camp, one-on-one.
He looked like Lawrence Taylor.
Yes, he did. And then, you know, they had him drop into coverage, and you know, then the game started where you had to play 11-on-11. He's like, whoa, you know.
He, and unfortunately for Tim Williams, he's been out of the league for some time.
I mean, it just, you know, FBI is important. Football smarts, any sport, you know, baseball smarts, you know, you got instincts and positional instincts, you know, and he doesn't have it.
Let's get one more call in before the break. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on with Vinny Haney and Nolan McGraw, who we will hear from before the end of the hour. What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Yes, yeah, so I was telling Nolan, you know, I think, you know, playing Buffalo really made us play, or at least come with the want to play our best football. I think Cleveland's always really made us play our best football to beat them, whether it was by one or by 30. I think it really bodes well for us, Vinny and Bob, going into Monday night with the Lions, and especially because I just feel like it's going to take them a few weeks to really rally from losing the coaching staff that they had, you know? So I think we look in good shape for Monday night, man.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Hey, thanks, man.
I don't disagree with that. Although, you know, I guess you play the Bears and, you know, the coaching staff turned out pretty well. But
beat up one of the coaches that left.
Yeah.
Then Ben Johnson.
The thing that I like about, you know, from week one to week two is, you know, like Cleveland challenged him, says, you're not running the ball. Okay. And they still found a way to score 41 points. And it wasn't all by the offense. You know, the defense chipped in, the special team. So it was more of a complete team. And that's what I like to see, because Sunday night against Buffalo, it was the offense against everybody else. You know, and this was a complete team victory. Was there some stuff we didn't like offensively? Yep. But they found a way to score some points. But you know, special teams made some plays, defense made some plays, and, you know, that complete team. That's what I liked.
Speedy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Ravens host the Lions Monday Night Football down at M&T Bank Stadium. Orioles of Chicago, game two of that series. Dean Kramer back on the hill, which is good news. Remember, he missed his last start, dealing with some stuff injury-wise. So the Orioles get the win last night. Colton Cowles, a three-run homer, proved to be the difference. And congratulations to Kyle Bradish. His first win since June 8th, 2024. But got Vinny's Dirty Dozen coming up later in the hour. And Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. Kyle Van Noy's out. What does this mean for David Ajabo, if it means that?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anything.
Vinny and Haney's Dirty Dozen. The 12 best NFL teams, according to our GM, Vinny Serrato. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, last night's games are over as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win a thrilling game, which we'll get into during the whip. And the Chargers kind of handled the Raiders with relative ease. So week two's over. That's what all of that means. Now it's on to week three, which starts on Thursday night. Ravens back at it on Monday against Detroit Lions. It's Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw. So without further ado, let's get into this week's Dirty Dozen.
All right, review of week two. 1 Philly, 2 Buffalo, 3 Baltimore, 4 Green Bay, 5 the Chargers, 6 Washington, 7 Kansas City, 8 Denver, 9 the Rams, 10 Detroit, 11 Cincy, 12 Tampa. All right, coming in at number 12, 1-1, the Atlanta Falcons. They won at Minnesota 22-6. They are at Carolina. Now, Bijan, 143 yards rushing. He's good.
Incredible player.
Yeah.
Highly drafted running back, which is rare nowadays, Vinny, and he's living up to that hype. For sure.
Bob, I mean, he's fun to watch. And their defense against Minnesota, all right, rookie quarterback and backup two tackles, you know, for Minnesota.
And they Cundiff Koo brought Romo in, who was 5 for 5.
Yeah. So Atlanta's got a chance. Atlanta's going to be interesting, you know, and they're at Carolina this week, so good chance to go 2-1. 2-0, coming in at number 11, 2-0 San Fran. They won at New Orleans, 26-21. They host Arizona. And Mac Jones threw for 279.
And 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know what's funny is the Niners were considering him when they traded up to the first pick. It was Mac Jones or Trey Lance, and they took Lance. And now they got Jones. You know, so, and they paid Purdy. So, Mac Jones is somebody they've liked, and he had a good game for them. Coming in at 10, 2-0 Tampa. They won at Houston last night, 2019. They're hosting the Jets. Now, Baker, he threw for 215. Irving rushed for 71. I was impressed with him. And Baker's just a winner, man. That dude just knows how to win games. Fourth quarter, last drive of the game, takes him down 4-10, makes the first down, takes him down the field to score.
Ohio State receiver 3 touchdowns in his first 2 games.
Yeah, much better than Marvin Harrison Jr., who was supposed to be the dude. Coming in at 9, 1-1 Denver. They lost at Indy 29-28, and they have a big game at the Chargers. That one's going to be for lead in the division. Coming in at 8, 1-1 Detroit. They beat Chicago 52-21. They're at Baltimore. Goff threw for 334. Gibbs rushed for 94. Mont St. Brown had 3 touchdowns. Kind of did whatever they wanted offensively. Scored 52 points, you know. And what's their defense going to be? That's going to be the key for them. Coming in at 7, L.A. Rams, 2-0. They won at Tennessee, 33-19. At Philly. Stafford threw for 298. And Davante Adams, 106.
Yeah, they pulled away late. Yep, that was a close game, and the Rams kind of took advantage of them. Rematch of the playoff game from last year, which was,
the Rams should have won.
That was a very entertaining ball game, for sure, against Philly. Yep.
Coming in at 6, Indy, 2-0, beat Denver.
What was that?
Indy, 29-28, at Tennessee.
Nah.
Yeah. Daniel Jones, 316 passing yards again. He's number 2 in the league, Bob, in passing yards. How about that?
And Jonathan Taylor's doing Jonathan Taylor
had 165 yards.
But Denver gave him the silver platter. I mean, it was a high score. It was a shootout game for sure.
Yep.
But Denver screwed up the leverage play on that field goal. Gave him
they did. But Indy, congratulations to them. At 5, L.A. Chargers, 2-0. They dominated Vegas last night, 20-9. They're hosting Denver. Herbert threw for 242. Quentin Johnson, 71 yards. You know what's funny, Bob, is I can't believe these last two games that G-Row's the coordinator.
Yeah. Well, Quentin Johnson's 3 touchdowns in 2 games, and Keenan Allen's playing like it's 2015, not 2025. Yeah.
Must be something in the water. Kind of like Hopkins, too.
They did lose Khalil Mack, it looks like.
Yeah, his elbow was, that wasn't pretty. But, I mean, back to G-Row, and Harbaugh, the team that want to run the ball, they're throwing the heck out of the ball.
Yeah, they're not really running it with great effectiveness right now.
No, they're not. Coming in at 4, 2-0 Green Bay. Beat Washington 27-18. They're at Cleveland. That's going to be interesting. You know, Cleveland's defense. You know, Cleveland's offense is going to struggle against Green Bay's defense. But Love threw for 292 when they beat Washington, and Jacobs rushed for 84. Green Bay's good right now. I mean, their defense is playing extremely well. They play 2 home games, so we'll see. Man, they got to go on the road.
Tight ends balling out big time right now.
Coming in at 3, the Ravens, 1-1, beat Cleveland 41-17, playing Detroit. Coming in at 2-0 Buffalo. They spanked the Jets 30-10. They host Miami Thursday. I think, Bob, if they blow up Miami at home,
McDaniel's out?
Yes. Because then they don't play till the following Monday night. So they got 11 days.
And the team will probably check out. They've already had a team meeting after week one. They competed against New England at home, but still found a way to lose.
Yeah. You know, and Josh Allen threw for a pedestrian 148.
Right.
And Cook had 132, and they still scored 30 points. Now, coming in number 1, Philly, 2-0. They beat Kansas City at Kansas City 2017. They're hosting the Rams. And Barkley had 88 yards rushing. I mean, he hadn't been killing it the first two games. So, and Philly, they played okay. They haven't played spectacular yet. So 1 Philly, 2 Buffalo, 3 Baltimore, 4 Green Bay, 5 Chargers, 6 Indy, 7 Rams, 8 Detroit, 9 Denver, 10 Tampa, 11 San Fran, 12 Atlanta.
That's your Dirty Dozen heading into week 3. We'll have the Feeble 5 coming up in the 1 o'clock hour when we come back on this Turning Up Tuesday. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. Talk about the Ravens' injuries. Look ahead to Detroit coming up on Monday night. Whip around 11:15. Talk more about those games last night in the NFL. And then notes from the North. We're going to Cincy, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland coming up at 11:30. Coming up at 11:30, news from the Nest coming up at noon. Whip around 11:15. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in on this Turning Up Tuesday. That was the Red Hot Chili Peppers, as chosen by you, the people. Nolan, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. The Orioles won last night. You know, you beat up on a White Sox team. It's the least you could do, but we're running out of games here, and as disappointing as the season has been, I feel like when we get to the end of this 162, I'm going to be sitting there saying, man, where'd the baseball go? I want more baseball. In the moment, they disgust me.
Talking about Trenton Simpson.
Well, yeah, back in some of these stretches they played this year, it was like, oh my God, I got to watch this team on a daily basis. It was like pulling teeth. But then as soon as they leave, you don't realize how much you miss it.
Well, the playoffs will be here, and there's always the root against the Yankees mentality that I've had for many, many years. But try to pick a World Series favorite. I'm leaning towards Philly, but I'm not 100% confident in that. And I'd like to see Toronto make a run because I have no problems there with the Blue Jays, and you know, if Scooble's fine with Detroit, because remember, first half of the season, they were the best team in baseball, and then totally crapped a bed in August, then brought everyone back to the pack, so that like teams like Cleveland and Kansas City were actually within snipping distance of them. That's not happening now, obviously. So I don't know. I'm going to put all the logos up, or the thing that I see on those reels when I'm laying in bed, when I'm not watching people cook food, which looks so delicious as I'm trying to master frying chicken. You know how I fry chicken? I call Royal Farms, you know what I mean? Or KFC. Yeah. But the dog that just hits the balls into the bucket.
Oh, the predictions?
Yeah, yeah, that's how it is. I mean, I have no clue who's going to win the World Series, and I'll lean Philly right now. But yeah, the Orioles are done. Big offseason for Mike Elias. They got to get a GM. They need a manager. Couple of starting pitchers. I still think they need a thumper in the middle of the lineup, a closer. Other than that, everything looks pretty strong for Sarasota in February.
Right, and you mentioned the Albert Suarez thing, and it's unfortunate, right? It just stinks to see a guy who, you know, missed most of the year, worked his tail off to get back, and then, you know, even in a lost season, didn't get to enjoy at least the thrill of sustained pitching. And I had kind of gone on record earlier this year saying that, you know, any expectations placed on Suarez would be a little misguided. I mean, let's be honest about who this guy is or how his career's gone. As great as last year was, is probably an outlier. Celebrate it, you know, commend him. He deserved to come back for it. It's not like he was breaking the bank anyway. But, you know, the way that he was talked about, like, oh, when Albert Suarez comes back, you know, that's really going to stabilize this bullpen and stabilize this pitching staff. I don't know what the future holds for him here or elsewhere in baseball. But to me, it was always just a 2024 nice story.
Yeah, and unfortunately for him, it wasn't a quest like Cano, where his performance just cratered. He's hurt. He's only pitched, what, 5 games this season? And now with the elbow issues, and we'll talk to Rich Dubroff at 12:30, we might not see him pitch again, period, much less for the Orioles. But you're still trying to end on a high note. But why Adley Rutschman? Why?
I don't know. Same thing with when they brought Jorge Mateo back. Now, at least that was with roughly a month, a little under a month left.
Yeah, but how much has he played since he's been
back? Yeah, that's my point, is that, yeah. You know, and Tyler O'Neill, we keep going through that story over and over again. Still think there might be an IL stint for him before these last 12 games are done.
That's right. We did talk about that yesterday.
But the point, yeah, you rush all these guys back, and even Adley Rutschman, who has a little more status than O'Neill and Mateo at the very least. But, I mean, you've kind of figured out your catcher thing here. You've kind of settled into some semblance of a catcher rotation with Basayo back there as the main guy. Why rock the boat? You know, why add another piece to the puzzle here for games that don't mean anything?
Speaking of catchers, you know who's kind of helping the Diamondbacks down the stretch here? James McCann. He homered again yesterday. So there you go. But, yes, next year, because I'm guessing Mayo or Mountcastle will be gone. It's going to be Basayo, insert righty at first, Jackson and Adley. They'll probably roll with three catchers, maybe. I don't know.
We'll yeah, I mean, see. If Basayo counts as, yeah, I could see that.
All right. Anyway, Orioles, their season's down to 12 games. Rich Dubroff joining us at 12:30. But when we come back, Ravens have 15 of these things left, and they're 1-1. No Joe Burrow in Cincy. Pittsburgh, no defense.
Right.
And Cleveland, no hope. So the Ravens are going to run away with the division, right? Detroit's coming to town on Monday night. Hey, the Ravens are 1-2 through 3 games. Are we going to be cool with that?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.